Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode of Do Go On was recorded live at Stupid Old Studios. And if you want to go back and watch this one in video form, you can absolutely do so by heading over to sospresents.com. You'll see a bunch of awesome shows that are available to you, including all of our live streams that are coming up over the next few weeks, including our big 250th episode celebration, which is happening on the 1st of August. You can get a season pass as well and enjoy four shows for the price of three. That's sospresents.com for tickets. Enjoy!
Hello and welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnicki, and as always, I'm here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hello.
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 So good to be here inside the podcast with my two best friends in the world, Jess Perkins and Dave Warnicki.
That's lovely. I've never thought about how we're...
I shut you down every time you say it, and you keep...
My besties.
Oh, wow. All right.
No, I'll reciprocate.
The two I'd trust my life with.
Oh, man.
Oh, that's
I don't
a
like
bad
that.
Choice.
Yeah.
For me. You okay. Shouldn't have picked me.
Dave's hopeless.
Oh, my God.
I'm very capable.
Especially
so that
if they're like,
cool.
All right, to save Matt's life, you must cook a three-course meal. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
I'm
Matt's
so
dead.
Sorry.
Matt's dead.
I wouldn't even walk into the kitchen. I'd just accept that you were dead.
I'd just instantly start mourning you.
Just like RuPaul seeing that guy drowning. All right, so... That might be one of those editing points.
Maybe.
I'm not sure.
Now
I
you're just doing it on purpose.
That. Apparently, RuPaul prayed instead of calling 911. Thanks, RuPaul. Allegedly. Hey, Dave, how does this show work?
This show works where we take it in turns to report on a topic often suggested by a listener, and whoever's doing the report goes away, does a bit of research, brings it back to the group, and the other two people have no idea what the topic's going to be. This week it is Jess's turn to report. We always get onto topic with a pesky little question.
Yeah, cheeky little question. My question this week is, a recent viral article compared real life events to that of which classic novel?
1984?
Basically just think of novels, I guess. Classics.
The Great Gatsby.
Nah.
Spot goes to the beach.
Oh, God, I wish.
poor.
What a day Spot had. Lift up the rock, there's a little crab in there.
Love that.
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No.
Poirot's Day at the Beach.
And again, Lift Up the Rock, Murder.
The little grey cell said to lift up the rock.
Oh, Murder Weapon.
Is that rude, probably?
Oh, it was adorable.
A viral article.
Viral, okay.
Okay, I'll think of how many words.
Give us a stronger clue.
5 words.
To Kill a Mockingbird.
Nah. God, that was fast.
It's only 4 words. No, it sounded good, though.
The last word is an insect. I want to see if people are commenting along
Bug?
As well. No.
Lord of the Flies.
Yes!
Lord of the Flies. Well done.
Thank
well
you so much.
Done.
Technically, flies aren't insects. No, that's not true. I don't know.
There's technically a type of ant. So.
Yeah, I'll just start the report. I was going to just sort of editorialise a bit there, but I've written it all down.
Yeah, let's
so
go
I'll
for
just
it.
Get started,
well,
I reckon.
This is very, very exciting.
It might be, you might have heard or seen the article, but I'll explain a bit of backstory first. Mm. So, in 1954, future Nobel Prize winning author William Golding published his allegorical novel, The Lord of the Flies, in which a group of prepubescent boys are stranded on a deserted island after surviving a plane crash. What happens next is a combination of power struggles, paranoia, mayhem, and murder.
Oh my God, it's the real life that. Whoa.
It's a real life that. However, the novel is obviously fiction, and recently a viral story showed us that perhaps that's not quite how people would behave in that situation. There's a Dutch historian called Rutger Bregman, and he released a new book, Humankind, A Hopeful History, in May of this year. Now, he describes the book as being about a radical idea that most people deep down are pretty decent. Crazy.
He's not fully going in there. They're pretty decent.
Yeah, they're all right.
Yeah.
At a base level, they're okay.
Yeah.
He tells stories of humanity and community in times of extreme crisis, like Hurricane Katrina and the Blitz of the Second World War. And when publicising his new book, he wrote an article for The Guardian about one of the stories he researched for Humankind. And within 4 days, the article had been read over 7 million times.
Wowzers.
It blew up. It went nuts. It spread all over the world. The article was titled The Real Lord of the Flies, What Happened When 6 Boys Were Shipwrecked for 15 Months.
Oh, I did see this article getting around.
That's a long time. I remember the article as well.
Yeah.
I did not remember it saying 15 months.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a long time.
So that's sort of
what's
how...
What's that, like 3 years? Bloody hell.
What's that in human years?
Little boy years, 15 months, yes, but human years?
In human years, what is that? It's about 3 weeks, I think.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a long holiday. It was lovely. Yeah. So that's kind of how this story became globally known. I think it was definitely a story that was known within their community, within their country.
Yeah,
but
those boys and their families, they knew about the story.
Their neighbours, they knew.
Yeah.
You know, people at parties. You know, so there was like people
that
knew about it.
People at parties. You definitely bring that story. That's a great party story.
You'd get sick of talking about it, I reckon.
Like, oh, yeah, come here, Matt, come over here. Tell everyone about the time that you were shipwrecked for 15 months.
As a boy, when you were a butter boy.
When you were a tiny boy. So this is that story. So it all started in June of 1965 with 6 boys, all pupils at St Andrews, a strict Catholic boys' school in Nuku'alofa, which is the capital of Tonga. Ranging from, it says 13 to 16, but in another place I read about 15 to 17, but they're...
Well, they're all over the shop.
I know. I reckon it's probably more likely they're 15 to 17. Sione, Stephen, Colo, David, Luke and Mano had one main thing in common. They were bored.
And boys.
They were boys and they were bored. They were bored of schoolwork and desperate for some adventure. So they came up with a plan to go for a sail. They thought maybe they'd see if they could make it to Fiji or even to New Zealand, which, by the way, they are in 2 different directions. So probably make up your mind you leave.
It's in the same direction if you just keep going all the way around.
That's true.
Who knows what the wind's doing?
Yeah.
You know, you hoist that sail. Who knows where we're going to end up?
See what happens. You go to Fiji, you go to New Zealand, either or. I mean, Fiji was 500 miles or 800 kilometres away.
That's ambitious.
So it's pretty far. New Zealand is in the opposite direction and way further.
Usually it's the kind of thing where you get into it and you're like, see that island 20 metres over there?
Yeah.
Do you reckon we could go there?
Let's do that.
And then you can't get there.
Nah, it's too hard. But that was their plan. Couple of obstacles. They didn't have a boat.
Okay. Sailing is a lot easier with a boat.
Would you say it's also...
A sailboat in particular.
Easier with sailing experience.
Yes.
They did not have that either.
But how do you get sailing experience? First you get a boat.
Yeah.
Which they didn't have.
Then you sail.
Then you sail.
Yeah, I agree.
So they're going for a swim.
You can go on as many boat simulators as you like.
Yeah, and I've been on all of them.
But it's not the same as the real thing.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Drop the anchor.
Blunk. You know, like I played heaps of Mario Kart and then I got my driver's license and I was like, whoa.
Whoa, where are the bananas? Yeah. Where are the shell things?
What? I'm not allowed to bump into other cars to knock them off the road.
Yuck.
Oh, my God, Mum.
I've listened to Rod Stewart sailing heaps. And still, when I got in a boat, I fell right off.
I love Enya.
Yeah. I've listened to all those songs. Shipping Up to Boston by the Dropkick Murphys. I've listened to these tracks.
Yeah.
My favourite show growing up was Ship to Shore.
Yeah.
Love it.
Great song.
That's all the experience you need. Well, let's not go on a boat journey, I think, maybe.
Well, I still want to do a podcast in international waters.
Yeah, we'll make
and
that happen.
I've got no international waters experience. It's not stopping me.
How about Hermes and Darkus? Maybe one of the great villains on the small screen.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, Kirk, was it? Was he the bad boy with red hair? Someone I really could grow up looking up to. Is it Kirk?
Dave, do you remember?
I can't remember any character's name. I'm so sorry.
You told me it was your favourite show.
It's my favourite show. I don't know anything about it. It's my favourite. Anyway, so yeah, they don't have sailing experience or a boat. So they decided to borrow a small 24-foot, so 7.3-metre boat from a fisherman that they didn't like. It's a bit of a grumpy old man. They thought, we'll just take his boat. We'll borrow it. Now, if you're going out on a sailing adventure, what kind of things do you think you might pack?
A boat.
Boat, great.
Okay, got
like
that.
A spare boat?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's smart.
Like a dinghy.
Yeah.
I suppose. What else might you take?
Food.
Yep.
Fresh water.
Great.
Medical supplies.
Medical supplies.
Citrus fruits for scurvy.
Oh, of course, yeah. Lack of vitamin C.
But
maybe a map?
Yep, map.
Compass.
15 months of supplies.
15 months of supplies for what you assume is going to be a pretty short journey. Yeah, yes. A tent. Yep.
Building
Shelter.
Supplies.
Building supplies.
Bricks. Mortar.
Okay.
Cement mixer. An architect.
Okay, they're just going on like a bit
Engineers.
Of a sail. I don't think they're planning on starting a new...
An Oculus Rift, so I could pretend I'm sailing in 3D.
You're on a boat using an Oculus Rift? Oh, yeah. You can smell the salt.
But they're stuck in a storm and they're like, I don't like this. Calm water's for me. Oh, this is beautiful.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm catching a fish. I've caught three fish. Oh,
why am I so wet?
Because I'm loving it.
So they didn't pack maps or a compass.
No map or compass.
They did take two sacks of bananas.
I love a sack of anything.
Yeah.
A few coconuts.
Sack. How do you? I mean, they come in a bunch already.
I know. I
put them into a sack.
I'm not sure how many bananas. I'm imagining fairly large sacks, but who knows?
Yeah.
How many bananas do you reckon's in two sacks?
You don't get You don't call it a sack if it's small.
Yeah, you're right.
Is that a pouch?
That becomes a pouch.
A bag.
Is satchel short for sack? Is that small sack? Satchel? Satchel. Satchel. Do you think?
I don't.
Have I finally cracked that old code?
We're disagreeing with
Scientists
you.
Scientists have been looking into that for eons, which is like 3 or 4 decades.
Wow, but how many in
multiplied?
Kids' years?
Oh, God.
It's hard to do the maths on that.
So, yeah, they've got... Two sacks of bananas, which who knows how many that is, but it's not a satchel.
It must be a lot.
Yeah, it's probably a few coconuts and a small gas burner. That's it.
Sacks of bananas, couple of coconuts.
Couple of coconuts. Take lots of coconuts. Mm. So one evening, they snuck onto the boat and they took off. No one seemed to notice the boat leaving the harbour. So their journey started off well, but that first night, they made the mistake of falling asleep.
Oh.
Oh, no.
Oldest trick in the book, sleeping at night time.
In the middle of the night, they awoke to giant foaming waves crashing over the boat.
Oh, grab the Oculus. Oh, no. This is awful.
Oh, that's better. They hoisted the sail, which was promptly destroyed. Next to go was the rudder. So now they have no way to steer the boat.
Oh. They started their steering wheel, right?
Yeah, but it was, at this point, ornamental.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they were stranded in the middle of the ocean. Without food, water, or any supplies, they drifted for 8 days.
Okay.
They tried to catch fish with no success. They collected rainwater in the coconut shells.
You said drifted. Do you mean rifted, like Oculus rifted?
Yeah, they rifted.
This is sick.
They took turns. It's, you know.
Look, there's Big Ben.
I'm in London.
I'm in London.
So, all the boys but one are going, oh, this is a nightmare. One of them goes, oh, hello, Governor. Jolly good day.
He's having a great time. For now. So they collected rainwater in coconut shells and they shared it around by taking one sip each in the morning and one sip at night. That's all they had.
You'd be policing the sip pretty hard, wouldn't you? Everyone's watching you take
a sip. That's a gulp, buddy.
Oh, yeah.
That's borderline gulp.
Spit it back.
You don't get any water tonight.
No.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Damn it.
Everyone knows two sips is a gulp.
That's something I would have also packed, a desalination plant.
Oh.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that would have been smart on a small boat.
Should have done it.
Sione tried to boil seawater to drink using the little gas burner that they had, but it tipped over, burning his leg.
Oh,
it's like just things just not going well.
That is unlucky. So is that a thing you can do? You boil the salt out of the water. That's cool. I didn't know about that.
I've never heard that. I reckon we should fact check that before we go on our boat.
On our boat. Things are going very well at Do Go On. We've got a fleet.
Yeah.
So on the 8th day, they spotted land. The land that they spotted was Atta, an uninhabited island 160 kilometres or 99 miles south-southwest of Tongatapu, which is the main island of Tonga.
That's so exciting.
It hadn't always been uninhabited. In fact, in June of 1863, about 350 people were living on Atta. And the Tasmanian captain Thomas James McGrath of the whaler, Grecian, decided that whaling wasn't profitable enough. He was going to go into slave trading.
Oh.
So he came along to Atta and invited the islanders on board for trading. This was pretty normal. Islanders were used to trading with passing ships, stuff like pigs, chickens, sugarcane, potatoes, all sorts of stuff. It was very normal. So he's arrived and said, hey, come on board for some trading. So they did. But once almost half the population was on board, doors and rooms were locked and the ship sailed away. 144 people never returned. He just turned up and took half the population of this island.
Whoa.
That's fucked.
It's insane. So King George...
When was that? In 1863?
Yeah.
That is not that long ago.
No. And the King of Tonga at the time, having heard of these kidnappings, sent three ships to Atta to evacuate and resettle the rest of the people who lived there. So all of a sudden, it's gone from being... It's a small island and it's gone from being this lovely community of 350 people to being uninhabited.
Right. It's ghost town. So there's still stuff there for the boys to live in and whatever.
100 years later...
100 years.
Yeah.
So it's nice and antique-y. That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, I want these walls to talk, you know?
Yeah.
Yucky. Ugh. It's just stale.
It's got no personality.
Yeah. I want the wood to be soaked in history, you know, that sort of thing.
And I guess, this would be.
They would have had turn of the century. I don't know how to talk about houses, but fuck, imagine if I could. It would have been a lot of fun.
That would have been a fun riff.
I thought my brain would have led to something.
You'll get somewhere with that.
But it didn't.
Here it comes.
Cornices.
Yeah,
look at the ceiling.
Oh, what a beautiful sconce. So back to the story 100 years later in 1965 when the boys had spotted land. By the time they actually drifted close enough to the island, it was really late at night. Mano swam ashore to suss out if the island was to see if it was safe. And despite not being a massive distance to swim, it took him a long time because he was so weak from lying in the boat for 8 days without food and water. This is a quote from him. What does that tell you? When I reached the shore, I tried to stand up, but when I stand up, the whole world is spinning. So I laid down and crawled ashore, and when I touched the dry grass, I lie down. The other boys were calling out to him, trying to see if he was okay and if it was safe, but he was too weak to stand and signal them, so he just yelled out that he was alive. The others,
I'm alive. Wait, what are you saying? You alive? Yes, I'm alive. Mate, we can't quite make out what you're saying.
Are you alive?
Yes!
Yes! More.
No.
Stand up if you can hear me.
Just fucking go.
I need a rest.
So the others slowly also made their way to land.
Nah, this island, it killed me straight away. Sorry, guys. You'll have to find your own island. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, Ceylon.
He claims it.
Mine. So anyway, the others come, make their way onto the land as well. And he said, we were very happy, but the first thing we did was we said a prayer, thanked God for what he brought us to. Then, desperate to quench their thirst, they hunted seabirds, drank their blood and drained their eggs.
Holy shit. What a way to quench a thirst.
I know.
Oh, my God.
Yep.
But you've also got to be pretty skilled and talented to do that.
Yeah.
Because if we were there, we'd be like, That's a good idea, but how are we going to get that bird?
Yeah.
You reckon? Oh, I mean, sure, that's a great idea to kill a seabird and drink its blood to quench your thirst. It's a great idea.
And we've got a little gas burner, so I guess we could cook the chicken, the meat or something.
No, I just want the blood. How do I get that blood into this gob? That's all I'm asking.
We got eggs. You could eat the eggies.
How do I get the blood out of these eggs?
Is this the kind of island that you can see one side out, like a tiny island, or is it...
It's a bit bigger than that, but it's quite small.
Because my first instinct would be to find a water source.
Yeah.
Fresh water.
Yeah.
But I like that they went straight to killing birds.
They went straight to fresh blood.
You like that? That's good. So after they got some sustenance, they collapsed and fell asleep. The sunrise waking them the next day. They survived initially on fish, coconuts, tame birds, and obviously the bird eggs as well.
Tame birds.
Well, later when they got to the top of the island, they did a little bit of exploring. They found an ancient volcanic crater where people had lived a century before. There the boys discovered wild taro, a root vegetable, bananas and chickens, which had been reproducing for the 100 years since the last Thomas
wow.
left.
There's like 6 million chickens
there's
in this
so
hole.
There's so many chickens. So they're like, oh my God, they found vegetables, they found chickens. Like, they're
it's
like,
a paradise.
They're like, oh my God.
Not if for the chickens like chicken. Anymore. It was a chicken paradise.
And the chickens are like, this is living.
What the fuck is
that?
Oh
God, they're back.
How old are these chickens?
100 years old.
Whoa.
No, but they're just reproducing and just living, not like, just living their best lives.
Oh, that does sound nice.
Chicken Island.
They named it Chicken Island.
So Stephen,
not very inventive chickens.
One of the boys, Stephen, he managed, after several failed attempts, to light a fire using two sticks. That old, we've all tried. And he managed.
First man to ever do it.
Wow, he invented fire.
Wow.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That's where fire came from. One of the plot points in the book, Lord of the Flies, is around the fire and how it has to be maintained in case of passing planes. And, of course, one of the kids abandons his responsibility and the plane goes by and they don't get rescued and it's this whole big fight in the book. But in real life, these boys tended the fire and it burnt for the entire time they were trapped on the island.
Wow, that's cool.
So they agreed to work in teams. They sort of paired up and they had a strict roster for garden, kitchen and guard duty. Because now that they've found these vegetables and stuff, they created their own little garden where they planted veggies. So they'd grow their own food and stuff. And
the tarakash roots or whatever.
Tarakash roots. If arguments occurred, the people involved would go to opposite ends of the island to cool off.
Think about what they've done.
Very mature.
It is. And after a few hours, they'd come back together and the others would make them apologise to each other.
Do it. Say it.
Say sorry. No, like you mean it. Yeah, that was always the thing when you were a kid.
Mean it.
Remember, you'd go, sorry. Like you mean it. You're like, sorry.
That's better.
Yeah, it's his parents. I can't be bothered. This
yeah. Well, oh, whatever.
I tried.
Mano says, that's how we stayed friends, by cooling off and apologising. Good lesson for everyone. Their days began and ended with song and prayer. Kolo fashioned a makeshift guitar from a piece of driftwood, half a coconut shell and 6 steel wires salvaged from their wrecked boat, and he used it to lift their spirits. He'd play guitar.
That is so amazing.
And you know the song he played?
I think one of them, I think it's Peter, still has that guitar.
Wow. And that was actually the first Gretsch guitar.
Yeah.
The White Falcon.
What year was this again?
65.
Yeah, guitar was invented in 65.
Wow.
As with all stories...
Geez, that's so close to an important year. Oh!
They're there for 15 months!
Yes! Shut up!
I get to say it!
As with all stories like this, though, things just, you know, really don't go there well. They tried constructing a raft in order to leave the island, but it fell apart in the crashing surf. The water was too strong. Another time, Stephen slipped and fell off a cliff, breaking his leg.
Sorry, I just didn't.
Fell off a cliff is quite
fell
dramatic.
Off a cliff, it's like, whoa, oh yeah. My God.
So he broke his leg and the other boys climbed down and helped him back up to the top where they set his leg using sticks and leaves. These boys are so resourceful.
Yeah, it's amazing.
I would die so fast, mostly because I'd give up. I'd be like, oh, it's too hard.
You wouldn't have made it to Chicken Island.
There's no coffee here.
What? We've only got a sack of bananas and coconuts on day one.
I don't like coconut.
The sale is still working at this point and you've already given up.
I'm like, oh.
You get there, it's a cafe, but it's like a chain. You're like,
Starbucks. Oh, no. I guess I'll have a caramel frappuccino or
but
something.
But what's the point?
There's only so much.
You don't have bagels.
Forget you're a bit of a coffee snob,
eh? Big time. That's why I'm enjoying this Dare iced coffee.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's the coffee snob's choice of iced coffee.
Oh, absolutely.
And also the Saints, one of the Saints' major sponsors. Saints, a little team that I might reference in the coming months.
In the coming 15 months.
So over the following months, the boys set up a number of things to survive. Like I said before, they had a small little commune with a food garden. They had hollowed out tree trunks to store rainwater. Apparently they had a badminton court and a gym. Like they just found heavy things to make weights.
But I want to go back to the badminton court.
Yeah.
All the, were they badminton?
They were boys. They thought shuttlecock was a funny word. And they go, well, let's give ourselves a reason to say that every day.
Pass the shuttlecock, David.
It sounds like we did a Patreon bonus episode, Dave, where... you got us to say our desert island discs.
Mm. Oh, that's right. Yeah, our favourite albums and one luxury item if we were ever trapped on an island.
And this island sounds a lot like the island we created with a gym.
Yeah. I did say a cafe. Yeah.
Jess's luxury item was a cafe.
Yeah, but we could also work there so we could earn some money.
Yeah.
Pocket money.
To spend at the cafe. They had chicken pens and, the fire that was burning always.
Oh, it's like the Olympic torch, the flame.
Yeah, the eternal flame. It's sort of like the Bangles.
Eternal flame.
What was that, Bananarama? Which is what I call a sack of bananas. I get those two
they
bands
They had two
confused.
Bananaramas on board with them. Obviously this, I mean, I'm talking about it like, oh, it sounds so nice. It obviously was a terrible time.
But they've done the best you can do in this time.
Absolutely, and they've worked really well together as a team. So then, Sunday the 11th of September, 1966.
Oh, September 11, 1966. That is so close to the grand final day, September 1966.
As I wrote it, I was like, oh, it's so close
so
to
close.
Grand final.
That was a couple of weeks before.
Yep.
So, 1966, that reminds me of
great.
The fact.
Great, I'll have a sip.
My team, the St Kilda Saints, won their one and only VFL AFL premiership. Well, to this point, if you're listening to this in a few years' time, it'll be one of two. But at this point, yes, just the one. When Barry Breen kicked that famous wobbly punt for a point.
What'd you call me?
You're a wobbly Dave.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. You said it.
That was not intentional. Can we bleep that?
Nah.
That's good fun.
Okay.
So September 11, 1966.
Tasmanian man named Peter Warner, who was out in his fishing boat, was making his way back to Australia from Tonga, where he'd unsuccessfully asked to fish for lobster in Tongan waters. The king had said, nah. So he's on his way home. And luckily he was denied because he took a detour to outside Tongan waters to see if he could have any luck fishing.
And do you get a personal meeting with the king?
Yeah. Back then. I don't know now.
That
I'm sure
is
now.
So cool. But also you got rejected. But that's
exactly,
cool.
Yeah.
But in person. Got rejected in person by the king.
Because you usually get a rejection letter, it feels so impersonal. But when the king slaps you across the face and says, piss off.
Yeah, on your 100th birthday, you get a personalised rejection letter from the queen.
My grandparents got a letter from the queen recently for their 70th wedding anniversary. And they were sort of like a bit disappointed because it was the same picture that came in the 60th wedding anniversary letter they got. And I'm like, well, stop being married for so long.
Yeah.
It's
divorce
crazy.
Already. Is it too late to be an old?
Yeah, maybe.
Objection.
So does the queen like pen it herself,
God,
or she
no.
just signs it, or someone stamps her signature?
Yeah,
on
they're
it?
Just like bulk letters where they just put in your name.
Oh, that's.
I mean, the queen's busy, but
is
anyway.
She? Oh, my horsies! Oh, I've got some dogs. She's got horsies and dogs, mate.
But she's not looking after them. Somebody else is doing that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Imagine just being in charge of looking after dogs.
Yeah, there's a professional dog person.
Whoa.
What a nightmare.
Also known as a vet.
I mean, I guess
vet.
If I just got a dog, then I would be in charge of looking after a dog. Whoa.
Yeah, you could get a dog. We could get a dog club on the show. That'd be fun. Get
yeah,
a dog.
Matt. Anyway.
Sorry. So he's.
I know, I'm just so excited.
Gone outside of Tongan waters for a bit of extra fish.
Yeah, he's just gone fishing. He's in no rush to get home. And there in the distance, he saw Atta. He knew of the island and its history, so he knew no one was living there. But he noticed something odd. There were burnt patches on the green cliffs.
Oh, no, there's an arsonist.
And he thought, that's a bit odd because, you know, we're in the tropics. Spontaneous fires don't really happen that much. Huh, that's weird. So he decides to investigate, and he gets kind of close to the island, and one of the crew on his boat says he can hear yelling, and he's like, that's just birds. Like, it's not...
Ah. It sounds like one of them's yelling, help.
Help.
Oh, no.
That's a sick bird. Yeah,
that is an inbred chicken.
That's a really sick bird. We should stop and help it.
He goes on the island to put this bird out of its misery. He just karate chops it. And I'm done. Yeah. He's like,
you're welcome.
You're welcome.
I did the right thing there.
You're at peace now.
Yep, I'm a hero. So anyway, as they approach the island, he has a look through his binoculars and sees a boy. This naked, long-haired boy leapt from the cliff into the water and started to swim towards the boat.
Oh, man, I'd be turning the boat around. That sounds terrible.
That sounds like The Ring
yeah,
or
exactly.
whatever.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, my God.
And they were quite concerned because all of a sudden there's more boys in the water swimming towards the boat and screaming at the top of their lungs.
That's horror film stuff.
All of a sudden there's more boys in the water.
Everybody look, there's boys coming in.
They're multiplying.
Where all these boys come from? Oh. Jump scares.
Yeah. Boy. Oh, yeah. Boy. This one you think, oh, it's safe. I'll come out again.
Boy.
Oh,
In my head, I'm imagining toddlers too, like the least scary boy.
But when they're unexplained and all in the water, coming at you. Oh.
Kids are the scariest. That's why they use them in horror films all the time.
Yeah.
They're scared,
kids
especially
are
they're like, got little English accent.
Oh, yeah.
Hello, help me, daddy.
Unless you're English.
Yeah, then it'll be normal, I guess.
And your kid is just asking for help with something. Yeah. Like, is holding a jar of peanut butter saying, can you open this? Yeah. Help me, daddy. That's all context.
Yeah, no, you're the queen. That's pretty normal for you.
All English dads are just terrified all the time. Oh, no. Oh, put down the peanut butter, son.
Stop it. Where'd you come from?
Help me, daddy.
Help me, daddy.
No.
In this case, the boys aren't saying that. They're saying,
yeah. And the crew on the ship loaded their guns.
Oh, okay.
Because
the boys were coming.
Yeah, the boys are back in town.
That at the time, Polynesian custom was, a lot of the time, they would dump dangerous criminals on remote islands.
Oh.
So they're like...
Criminal boys.
Oh, like, we could be in a bit of danger here.
Right.
So Stephen reached the boat first, and luckily for the boys, they were able to speak English. And Stephen said, there are six of us. We reckon we've been here 15 months. Peter was quite sceptical, but he radioed to Nuku'alofa and told them that he had six boys with him who claimed to be students of St. Andrews. He gave their names, and the operator called the school to confirm if they were pupils. He was just like, you know, let's make sure these... I'm not bringing criminals back.
Yeah. The people at the office are like, yeah, and tell those boys they're in trouble. Yeah. That is 15 months of class.
They're going to have to repeat year 10. Yeah. 20 minutes later, the operator came back and said, you found them.
Ah.
So Peter and his crew turn back and take the boys back to Tonga, where hundreds of people apparently turned up to celebrate their return. Their families rejoice. They'd had funerals for their sons. Like, they had assumed that the boys had died. So they're thrilled. But also waiting when they arrived were the police. Because it turns out the grumpy boat owner was still pissed that his boat was stolen and was pressing charges. Like a real piece of shit. So the boys
the real piece of shit. He had his boat stolen. What a dog. Hey? Oh, you're upset. Nobody. Your boat was, your livelihood was taken from you? Oh, that's upset you. Oh,
why are you siding with this guy? Everyone's so happy these kids are back, and he's like, yeah, back in prison. Back they go.
Yeah, no, it is weird. He's not like, oh, my boat, is my boat okay?
No.
And they say, no, we broke it.
Yeah.
But we're alive. Well, I wish it was the other way around.
Okay, never break anything of Matt's.
Never break my boat.
That's why we had to get three boats. Matt would not share.
Yeah. Two of them are my spare boat.
Very generous about a lot of things, except boats. I must say as well that the boys were all in really good physical condition, which you might not expect because they've been stuck on an island for 15 months.
But they've all got sick rigs.
They look great. So there was a doctor that assessed them all and was amazed at their muscular physiques. Because they had the gym and the badminton.
Oh, yeah. And they're all, you know, they're having to catch food. And
yeah, nothing but protein. Chicken.
Like, yeah. And they're young. They're teenage boys. Like,
we get unfit because we sit to work all day and don't do anything.
Yeah, I know.
If your life is active, you're probably going to be pretty fit.
I guess so. And the doctor even said that they did a great job with Stephen's broken leg, which had healed perfectly.
No, wow. That is impressive.
The leaves.
Leaves and
I'm
twigs.
Like, leaves. That's not going to do it.
Yeah, what are
I'm
the leaves
picturing
doing?
Little gum leaves, though. They're probably big palm leaves.
Yeah, they've probably
I
made
was also
like
picturing his leg like that, and
they're just dropping.
You'll be right, mate.
mulchy leaves on top.
Again, that's us on the island.
Yeah,
that's
going. Oh, no.
I think these boys have a bit more experience.
Well, the eucalyptus. It's a beautiful smell.
Oh, yeah. So soothing.
Yeah, Matt's got a broken leg. Smell this.
You'll be right. Anyway, so the boys are stuck in jail, and Peter came up with a plan. So it occurred to him that the story of their shipwreck was perfect Hollywood material. Now, something I didn't mention was that Peter was the youngest son of Arthur Warner, one of the richest and most powerful men in Australia. Peter worked for his father's company and managed the company's film rights and new people in TV. So from Tonga, he called up the manager of Channel 7 in Sydney, said, "You can have the Australian rights, give me the world rights." So he paid the boat owner £150 for his old boat and got the boys released on the condition that they would cooperate with the movie. So a few days later, a team from Channel 7 arrived.
Wait, can you say that again? What? So they're sort of...
He basically sold the rights to their story.
The guy that rescued them.
To get some money to pay off the boat owner.
Oh, okay. So he was doing it to help them, sort of.
Yes.
Were they in on it, the boys? Did he?
An excellent point. So... A note here is when the article first came out, it was criticised, rightly so, because it was told from the perspective of the white man who saved them. It was all about Peter Warner. And it also brushed over why the island was uninhabited and when the boys had arrived and the dark history of the island. And people were frustrated that Peter sold the boys' story as if he had any ownership over it.
Yeah.
And after this criticism was voiced, The Guardian followed up with another article, which actually interviewed Mano, one of the boys. And when asked about that criticism, he said, "I know a lot of people say to me things about Mr. Warner making money from our story, but who cares? If there wasn't Mr. Warner, we wouldn't have survived. and we wouldn't be here to tell our story. So if he makes some money for it, from it, good luck to him. That's my opinion.
Okay.
So, and I'll go into it a little bit more at the end as well. I don't think he has made money from it. And the Channel 7 crew turned up. If there's a whole big section about it in the book, Humankind, where they like took this film crew to the island, and it was just like a big mess because they're like Channel 7 reporters, the news reporters, trying to like trek through a really hard mountain, like island, and they, oh, it's hard, and it didn't go well.
And you said they were from Channel 7 Sydney.
Yeah.
You know, Sydney. Good luck out there in the bloody bush. Sydney types, you know, with their bloody cups of tea or whatever they do up in the Big Smoke.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, enjoy your bridge. There's no bridges here.
We wade through rivers, thanks. Yeah.
Okay, or you want to go to an opera house? Well, unfortunately not.
No, thank
no
you.
No opera over here.
We only have a badminton court.
So anyway, for saving the boys, Peter was a national hero in Tonga. The king thanked him for rescuing the boys and asked if there was anything he could do for him. Peter asked if he could start a business in Tonga to trap lobster. The king was like, sure thing.
That's what he wants. So
that's what he wants.
That's what he wanted all along.
He wants to start a business. So Peter went back to Sydney, resigned from his father's business, and had a new fishing boat made. And then he returned to Tonga and hired the six boys as crew for his new fishing boat. The name of the boat was Atta. Don't know how great, you know, maybe they don't want to be reminded, but... You know, I mean, the boys had wanted adventure. That's why they took off in the first place.
Yeah,
and he
they
was
were
like,
bored.
Well, you can see the world now.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And he hired them all.
You can see the world. Well, look, I might be overselling. You can see some lobsters.
Lobsters of the world.
Yeah. How would you guys like to earn some lobsters? And they're like, $20 notes? Yeah. I mean, oh, no, sorry, literally lobsters. I pay you in lobsters.
I'm going to pay you in lobsters. So a couple of points of, like, what we were talking about there. That's basically the end of the story. Obviously, they all made it home and they were fine. And the story wasn't all that widely known outside of Tonga until a couple of months ago. But, like I said, it was criticised for a few things. There's a Tongan author and storyteller, Malika Gesa Fatafai. And she took issue with the story's colonial lens. This is a quote from her. She says, "The original article could have done more for the six men. The story should have been told by a Tongan. The story should have been told by the men themselves and their families. This is their story, will always be their story. The article doesn't mention how the boys felt or why they made the choices they made. It lacked their perspective. It lacked the very Tongan story... lacked the very Tongans the story was about, with the exception of Mano. But even then, Mano was sidelined. He deserved to share his story how he would want to." And Mano himself said that while he isn't quite ready to tell his story, he thinks maybe he'll write a book with the help of his grandchildren. And the main reason he wants to do that is so that his family will be secure, but his grandkids will have some money when he's gone. Because he's in his 70s now and he lives in Queensland.
It does sound like that initial article is just... kind of poor journalism if it missed out getting their perspective.
I know. And so that's what's hard about it too, because it was an excerpt from the book, and in the book he does go into more detail.
Right.
And he has interviewed a couple of the boys. And I'm not defending, but like, you know, you got to break it down for word limits for an article. So it was just sort of like, here's an interesting story. But it was mostly, I mean, it was told by a Dutch historian from the perspective of the white Australian who found them, which I mean, is amazing, and they're obviously very grateful for him, but it's like, maybe reframe it a little bit.
Right. Well, you're a journalist.
Yes.
By trade.
Me, yes. Yeah, that's true.
How do you see it?
Well, I'm certainly not helping by being another white person telling the story, but for now, it's sort of the only written formal telling of the story, and that's why it is widely known. And I did read that there have been talks about a film with Peter Warner, but also the four of them are still alive. That they're all part of the discussion.
Is it going to be made by Channel 7 as a telly movie?
Well, a lot of people have said it needs to be done by Tongan people, not like when we had Ethan Hawke playing a Uruguayan rugby player in Alive from one of our past stories. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
he played the main guy. Remember Nando, the one who climbed out? It was played by Ethan Hawke.
Oh, he can act the hawk.
Yeah, he can transform. So hopefully the story can be told by them themselves, whether that's in book or in film. But I just thought that is a pretty amazing story of survival and the human spirit.
We love a survival story.
Love a survival story.
Love a survival story.
That is quite amazing. Mm. 15 months. And like you say, they were 17 at max.
Yeah.
They didn't even know the Saints were winning that premiership.
They didn't know.
That would have been the hardest thing for them to come back to. They broke the drought when we were on a deserted island.
Oh, no, we missed the wobbly punt.
I wouldn't be surprised if that was one of their first questions.
Yeah.
Did the Saints win?
That would be
your first question. If you were away for 15 months, have the Saints won in the last year?
Imagine if you missed a premiership.
That's when it would happen.
Imagine.
That's such a wild story. So there's not that, there isn't a version of it written where we know sort of their day-to-day in more detail yet. But that will hopefully be coming. Because that would be fascinating to know, obviously. Wow. Yeah, how do they, how many chickens did they eat? Did they go, we can't eat too many chickens? Because we need them to keep breeding so we can eat more of these chickens.
I know.
Did they drink wet eggs every day?
So that's the story.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Great.
Well, that brings us to everyone's favorite section of the show, the fact, quote, or questions section, which has a little jingle that's topping the charts around the world, I believe, right now. And it goes
remix,
something like
the
this.
The remixes, yes. It goes, fact, question.
Ding, 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 ding.
It's really good.
He always remembers the ding. Now, the way this one works is people who support us on Patreon on the Sydney Schoenberg Deluxe Memorial Edition Rest in Peace level get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. They get all sorts of different rewards as well. They get to vote on 2 out of 3 topics, the third, of course, being personal choice by the report giver. They also get 3 bonus episodes a month, including a bonus report, a quiz type thing, or something else random like that, or a Phrasing the Bar episode, which is a new podcast exclusive to Patreons, where we talk about the films of Brendan Fraser.
Oh, man.
Oh, we got a good one coming up.
What are we talking about?
It'll be School Ties, this one.
School Ties.
Yeah. Is that a bit of Matt Damon?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
It's an all-star cast and Fraser, leading role.
And the other, probably, maybe even the most exclusive benefit you get for being on this level of Patreon is getting to give us a fact, a quote, or a question.
Mm-hmm.
And this week, because I don't have my computer here, Jess has taken over the role. Big shoes to fill.
Also, because I'm perfectly capable. That's
big shoes to fill. Yeah.
I will fuck this up. Yes,
not like me. Well, no, that is actually part of the job. You got to fuck it up a little bit in a charming way.
Mm. Okay, all right. Let's see if I can be charming.
Don't pre-read. You got to read it all first time on the pod. Please.
I haven't read anything. I promise. So we've got a few here. The first one is from Liam Goodwin, who's written Life's Good. Real name, Liam Goodwin. So love that. Thank you, Liam.
And has he also given himself a title?
His title is Lawman of the Pod.
Oh.
Oh, sweet talking lawman.
Yeah,
love
right.
that. Don't know if you're some sort of
there's a new lawman in town.
Enforcement officer, or if you're just a bit of a stickler for rules. Either way, I respect you.
Either way, don't hurt me.
And Liam this week has given us a quote.
Oh, yes. Fantastic.
And the quote is, coming back to where you started is not the same as never leaving.
Beautiful.
Terry Pratchett.
Oh, geez. Terry Pratchett is mentioned a lot on this show. I reckon that's the second or third time he's been fact quote or questioned. Probably, to be honest, would have been quoted both times.
Has he been questioned?
And we did a Primates about him as well, about his Discworld series. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, and that was suggested by a bunch of listeners. The patrons love Terry Pratchett. A lot of Pratch heads out there.
Oh, you goddamn right there is.
And he can't be too far away from the world of Hitchhiker's Guide as well. Similar sort of English fantasy novelist.
Yeah, well, we should mention that this week's book cheat that I just put out yesterday features all three of us. You two were very gracious to appear on my show together. And we talked about Douglas Adams' The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, which is probably one of the top five most requested books I've got.
After Plugger, the Tony Lockett story.
Yeah.
But I'm saving that for the big 100.
Yeah, that was a really fun episode to do. But I really liked it. The more I learn about Terry Pratchett, the more I like him. I think he's a very fun, funny writer.
I haven't read a lot of Terry Pratchett.
But also,
or any, I should say.
I was going to say, I haven't read any.
He's got good wisdom.
Mm.
Yeah, from that quote.
I read The Masquerade when I was backpacking the first time. Picked it up on one of those hostel book swap
things.
Yeah,
I love those.
What did you swap for it, or did you not?
I think I... What's the guy who wrote High Fidelity?
Nick Hornby.
Nick yes. Hornby. His book about being an Arsenal supporter, or I think it was an Arsenal supporter. I forget what it's called. Fever Pitch, maybe? No.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember. But it was... A book about, it was sort of like his football supporting biography. I swapped that for
The Pratch.
For The Pratch.
Love that.
Yeah, but that was great. Great fact
that's
from
a nice,
Life's
quote.
Good. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Life's
LG.
Good. Our second fact Twitter question comes from Dan Peterson. Dan has given himself the title of Unofficial Director of Saints Fan Recruiting.
Okay. Appreciate any help we can get.
Wow.
He's totally worked it. Worked on us this week.
Yeah. Get on board the Saint train.
And Dan... Dan's fact is...
Oh, another fact. We had a quote before, sorry. Oh, a new fact.
Ooh. Oh, no. What have I done? I'm not good at this. There we go.
Perfectly
While this
capable.
Podcast has thrown its support fully behind the Gary South Shore Railcats, I have decided to use this platform to advocate for my hometown team. I am, of course, referring to Gary's North Division rivals and reigning American Association.
Oh, the St. Paul Saints. Our
arch-nemesis. I didn't even get through the sentence.
Is it?
Yes, that's what he's talking about. Professional baseball champion. They're referring to Gary's North Division rivals and reigning American Association of Independent Professional Baseball Champions, the St. Paul Saints. I'd like to offer up a fact about the Saints. Jess can feel free to let me know if it's fun or not. Thank you for respecting. The fact is, the Saints are partly owned by comedy legend Bill Murray.
Oh.
And he has been known to show up unannounced on the opening day of the season to work as a ticket taker. Dan.
That's fun. That is... Oh, sorry.
Matt!
Excuse me.
Unfucking believable.
sorry about that.
Well, what do you think? Please enlighten me. What do you think?
Well, to me, that is unquestionably a fun fact.
Oh, unquestionably, I agree. I bloody got you, didn't I?
You did.
You're a bit scared, weren't you?
I was squirming.
I've got to say, that team sounds great, but I've got to give a shout out to my favorite team, which is of course another rival to the Railcats. From the American Association of Independent Professional Baseball, the Wichita Wingnuts.
Oh, go Wingnuts.
Love that.
Yeah, they're the top three for me.
Yeah, great team.
Wichita. Wichita's fun to say too. Mm. Where is Wichita?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Oh, it's in America.
Probably people from Wichita, I'd hope.
It's in the United States of America.
Anyway, thank you so much
Wichita
to Dan Peterson.
We had a long Wichita conversation the week you were off sick.
Oh.
The long Wichita. We're talking about Witchy Woman by the Eagles. And other things.
And other things.
Yeah.
Wichita Woman by Glen Campbell, I think, and other such things. Anyway, that's great. I mean, St. Paul, they're a very good team. If they were in any other league, they would be my team. But, you know, I'm a Cats man till death do us part. So. Yeah,
fair enough.
Go Cats. Go Rail Cats.
But, Dan, great fact. Thank you for that. And thank you for your support. All right, on to our next one. It is from James Edwards.
Hi, James.
Hi, James. The best laugh in the biz.
Well, James has given himself the title of Chief Avoider of Live Streaming Shows by sleeping.
Oh, yeah.
Because the last time we did...
Famously missed them.
Yeah, the last time we did a run of live stream shows, there would always be a comment not long after of James going, I missed it!
Not surprising.
In
he
his
is watching
defense.
The middle of the night, right?
Yeah, it's 3 a.m. where he is in England. So
understandable.
But at my stand-up show last year in London... I'd almost travel around with him, planting him in the audience as like a cheerleader. Great laugher.
Great laugher. And he has given us a question.
Okay.
Says, having spent an inordinate amount of time helping companies rearrange working environments to suit the new normal of social distancing, I wonder how you guys think things will change after restrictions are lifted. Oh, James. Look, restrictions have been put back in place in Victoria. So he says, do you think we will be able to enjoy live comedy shows in the same way we used to? I'm especially thinking about Matt's brilliant stand-up gig at the Bill Murray last year.
Oh, the Bill Murray.
Where the audience was packed in like sardines.
Yeah, that is really rammed in. You were there that night. They do squeeze them in there.
Absolutely. Mm. There's people in front of you and on the sides of you. It's a real arena spectacular.
Yeah, in the round. So I love that venue. But yeah, I wonder how long it will be. I keep assuming it's going to be back to that before too long. But really, until there's a vaccine, it sounds like that's unlikely.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of interesting to see how many people... And organizations have like just figured out different ways to do stuff. Like people here at Stupid Old have come up with a way to do live streams, and lots of places are doing that, and sort of Zoom gigs and stuff like that. But I think it'll be a while before we go back to how it used to be.
Yeah.
A long time, probably.
And I think in other states in Australia, it's starting to happen. Gigs are returning. Nature is healing. But
are they spreading them out still a bit?
Like
I people
think they
are
have to
distancing?
Be a little bit spread out. Yeah. But it means, I mean, unless they go backwards like we have, which is, I guess, a very real chance. Mm. Maybe they'll keep being able to up the capacities.
Slowly.
And I'll watch on jealousy from afar. Jealously.
Jealously. Mm. James jealousy. Just adds at the end, thanks for everything you do to keep us laughing through this weird situation.
Oh, thanks James. Thanks for your support.
Yeah.
And it's very comforting to think of you laughing away in England.
And a good question too.
And annoying your neighbours.
Imagine being annoyed by someone just sounding so joyous.
Yeah.
Joyful.
Joyous. I've had that. Like, because, you know, this laugh has been with me for a long time. And people in school being like, oh God, you laugh so loud. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry, I'm having a nice time.
Yeah.
Fucking killjoy. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm sorry that you have no sense of humour. Oh, did you not get it? Oh. Girls' schools are very bitchy. But it's okay. I turned out fine.
That's right. And your laugh? What a great feature.
Great feature. It's right up there with James Edwards.
I agree. I think. I mean, I definitely think his is above me, but I'm maybe a close fifth. our final factoid question for today comes from Roy Phillips.
Hi, Roy.
Roy has given himself the title of sole controller of all automatic doors.
Oh, fantastic.
That is a massive responsibility. How do you possibly keep up with all of them?
He must have sort of Superman type... Some sort of to be able to get around.
Bruce Almighty, when he's replying to emails and he's typing really fast, I reckon it must be like that.
Maybe he's got Bruce Almighty / God-like skills.
I can only assume, yes. And Roy has given us another quote. And this quote is, good judgment comes from experience and the vast majority of experience comes from bad judgment. That is a quote from Will Rogers. Do you want that again?
Yes.
Yeah, let me hear it.
Good judgment comes from experience, and the vast majority of experience comes from bad judgment. Okay, I guess that's like you learn from your mistakes.
Totally. Yeah, that's great.
You make a bad judgment, you fail, you learn from it. Later, you make a good judgment. I like that.
Yeah, I think that's good. I mean, it'd be great to just always, you know, sometimes when people say like you need mistakes and that's why you don't have regrets.
Mm.
But if you could, like in this sort of mythical world you're imagining, why not just get things right the first time every time? Then you don't need to learn from mistakes because you never make them.
Yeah. I wish you could actually learn from other people's mistakes.
I do sometimes. But they've got to be pretty big ones.
My dad told me so much as a teenager that I was like, whatever, Dad. And then I grew up and went, ah, shit.
Yeah, I didn't learn from those kind of mistakes.
No. Dad was like, every time you earn some money, put a bit of it aside. I was like, whatever. And then I needed to buy a car. And I was like, oh, no. Dad.
Look after your ears, Matt. Play loud music. You'll have hearing loss.
All right, Dad.
Whatever, Dad.
I can't hear you, Dad.
What are you saying, Dad? What? Etc.
My ears will live forever.
Or the opposite. I don't care. Live fast. My ears will die young. I don't care.
Thank you very much to Liam Goodwin, Dan Peterson, James Edwards, Roy Phillips.
Thank you so much. What a great list of facts, quotes and questions. Mm. And yeah, you can get involved with that at patreon.com/dogoonpod on the Sydney Sheinberg rest in peace level. And may he rest in peace.
Another thing we like to do for people that support us on the show at the arse prod level or above.
This
arsh. Yes, I am Sean Connery.
Money Penny.
Money Penny, bring me the arsh producer. people that support the show on the arse prod level or above, we give them a shout out and a thank you for supporting the show.
It's funny that the arse prod level still exists because that was named after your position at the project, but you're just full prod now.
Just full prod. Thank you so much.
your ass out.
My ass has been hanging out for a long time. Surprising I'm not having been fired, actually.
Yeah.
We're going to start, if this is okay with you two, going to start doing 3 each.
Mm-hmm.
So we get through 9 a week just because it is getting away from us a little bit where... we just want to make sure we get to all the shout-outs.
Yeah, thanks so much for everyone that's been signing up.
Mm.
I have fun saying their names because they're all good. And I love Jess's games. What game are you going to play this week, Jess?
Ooh, that's a tough one. Maybe what they would take to the island. You know how like the boys only took a couple of sacks of bananas?
Yeah.
Some coconuts?
Okay, maybe these 9 people are also shells in the boat. And so on top of the bananas, a couple of coconuts and a gas cooker... They also bring
right
some stuff. Is that fun? I don't know.
And they're all there together. So these 9 people, there'll be women and men.
Yes.
But they're all boys.
They're all boys today. They're honorary boys today. Teenage boys with confusing emotions.
And confusing hairstyles.
Yeah. God. And it was the 60s, you know.
Oh, yeah. It'd be awesome.
Different time.
Well, they wouldn't have been able to cut their hair.
Well, unless we pack them a hairdressing kit.
Okay, well, let's see.
So may I kick this off?
Please.
Well, I'd love to thank from Como in Western Australia, Jamie Griffiths.
Jamie Griffiths.
Kokomo.
That's where I want to go.
Oh, okay. Well, Jamie's from Como, so maybe they bring a comb.
Oh,
we in their hairdressing kit. Oh, okay, for their mustache, yep. A mustache comb.
Como.
It's less useful than the hairdressing kit, but it is adorable.
Well, what are the hairdressing...
Well, that's part of the hairdressing kit.
Yeah,
it's all in there.
Yeah.
There's a normal comb, mustache comb, mm-hmm, scissors, uh-huh, hair dryer, straightener, yes, uh-huh, curling wand.
Yes.
Shampoo, conditioner, but like good stuff.
Pube clippers.
Pube clippers, obviously. We have pube clippers.
They've also got dry shampoo if you can't be bothered fully washing your hair.
You get it.
But you still want to go out on a Saturday night on the island.
This is how we know you live with a woman.
That's right. That stuff smells fantastic.
Yeah, it does.
Fantastic. Mm. I just had a thought. We should let listeners know that if they wanted to watch today's episode, they can buy a ticket at Sauce Presents. There'll be a link in the show notes. Mm. And you can get a season pass to watch that one and the following 3 weeks if you want as well.
Yeah.
And it's not just the bonus episode, or not the episode, there's a bonus sort of episode. At the end of it, we recorded it was about 40 minutes worth of a game that we call Fact Finder. Fact Finder? Fact Finder. Where some of the Patreon supporters suggested topics, and we all went away and researched a topic, a fact on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then the people at home voted for whose was the most interesting.
It was a lot of fun. I loved the interactive part of it as well, like waiting for people to vote and, who's it going to be? Yeah. It's exciting.
It made it feel like a live show.
Yeah, it's really
which
fun.
It was, I guess, in a lot of ways.
But we haven't had that feeling for a while, so.
Yeah, so that's that's definitely worth doing if people are keen on that. And I reckon there's a few bits that Jess would have had to have edited out that you wouldn't have heard, but they are, I think we can't edit them from the live stream. They just remain there. So get the earmuffs ready if you got any young children watching with you. So, Jamie Griffiths.
Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you so much for having the thought to bring your hairdressing kit
for the rest
of the boys.
Really, really handy.
As well. I would also love to thank, from Victoria Park in Western Australia, Claire. No surname.
Claire.
Like a Madonna. Does not need a surname. And I like that.
What if she brings a ship in a glass bottle?
Oh.
Okay.
That serves zero purpose.
Yeah, because you can't use it for water. No. And you can't use it for a ship.
Yeah, but...
Nice to look at.
You got to build it, though.
Oh.
One of those ones.
It's an activity.
It's an activity. It's an art project.
Something to pass the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's 15 months out there.
God, you are useless in this. You are no help. I brought a hairdressing kit.
You know what? Claire bought a ship in a bottle and it doesn't even have the ship yet. She's got to build it.
So that's a bottle. She's got a bottle and some bits of...
I reckon if she's smart, she just uses the bottle to catch rainwater.
Yeah, that would be good.
Creates a funnel with some leaves.
Well, that would ruin the artwork.
You're not wrong.
Is it possible she could make the ship out of the bottle?
No.
Okay.
What was the... when in The Simpsons, who makes the ship in the bottle? And it's Sacho Bob,
he's making Westminster Abbey.
Oh, right.
And the clocks are even accurate. And as he's setting it, it gets knocked and he knocks it all over.
That's very good.
That's
hopefully
great.
I think that might be our first Simpsons reference. We needed to get something in there for Jacob, our official Simpsons reference.
I took
Talia.
The mustache comb as a Simpsons reference.
Oh.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
What'd you get? Mustache comb? What'd you get? Fake mustache? Want to comb my mustache? After they go to like a time zone type arcade
right.
place.
Thank you, Claire.
And my third final shout out today from the fair city of Adelaide in South Australia. Beautiful city. One of my favourite capital cities in Australia. I mean, they're all very good though, admittedly. Yeah. I'd love to thank Xander.
Xander brings a sander.
Oh my goodness, I can't wait to start helping these poor people out. They've had three things and so far.
Yeah, but I mean, they can chop down a tree and then sand it down.
But
and
they
make...
can't chop it down.
Well,
what are they chopping it down
maybe
with?
Maybe there'll be something later they could chop down a tree with.
You couldn't have just brought a whole, like, all
a toolkit.
Toolkit.
I know, but it was fun to say.
Yeah.
I have to admit it's fun to say.
Xander brings a sander along with the rest of his toolkit.
Yeah. In his toolkit.
Is it too late?
No, not at all. So it's a toolkit.
And he makes
from Makita.
Wow.
Give me my Makita back, Mac, is what Xander would say
to Mac
after lending Mac one of his tools.
Mm-hmm.
I think Xander would bring a sander and he'd work exclusively on making verandas for the island.
For shelter. Perfect.
This isn't a Dr. Seuss book, Dave. Or is it? Is it?
It is now.
It feels like it.
Can I thank some people as well?
Oh, that would make me feel so good.
Thank you. Thank you to Xander again. I would love to thank from Bundoora in the ACT.
God's country.
Love to thank Celeste and Josh Van Greensven.
Amazing names. Celeste and Josh. Two for one.
Celeste and Josh Van Greensven.
Are they getting two items or are they bringing one collectively?
Well, yeah, no, they're bringing a joint couple email account.
So that they can be contacted on the island. Celeste and Josh at gmail.com.
Along with their computer that's hooked up to the internet with unlimited power.
Mm.
Love the idea of them rocking up the island, the boys being like, oh, thank goodness you're here. Have you brought any food or shelter we can have? Yeah, we've brought a couple's Gmail.
Now they've got a joint Facebook. That's the worst. It's always Graham and Jean.
Yeah. So good.
Nah, good idea.
I've just double checked. Their email is not a joint account, thank goodness.
Thank God, yeah.
Mercilessly ripped. Jeez, they got ribbed there, didn't they? People with joint accounts.
When we got them. When I made, well, not made up, but just put together Celeste and Josh's Gmail, I had a quick glance. Mm-hmm. I was like, not their email. Thank God.
Not their value, not their not email. Not their value. Not their value.
Email is not your value, people.
Thank you very much.
Your email address is not your value. I wish it was mine, because...
mine's great.
Sexgod69 at hotmail.com.
Remember the time you said you were a Mensa in the sheets?
No, but I stand by it.
It's one of our live shows.
Is that good or genius in bed?
Sounds like you're overthinking.
Oh, you should see him work in the bed. It's a real master.
It's art. Thank you very much, Celeste and Josh. I'd also love to thank from what's MI?
Oh, yes. It's either Missouri. One of the
or Michigan.
It is
Michigan. Damn it!
So you got Missouri, Michigan. What are the? There's more MIs than that though. Montana's the only MO. You got Massachusetts,
Minnesota,
and I think there's. Is there not four?
Miami. No, that's not one.
There's three MAs. Four MIs and one MO, God, I'm pretty
that's
sure.
That's a lot. Well,
what a way to remember it. Three
MIs. Missouri.
Michigan.
Michigan. Mississippi.
Mississippi and Minnesota.
Yes.
But from Michigan.
Love to thank Paul Jackby.
Ah, Paul Jackby.
Paul Jackby. This man does not need vowels in his name.
He does not need vowels, but what he does need and what he brings to the
table.
There's
the A.
Is.
And the U. And another A.
But in Jackby, it's J-A-C-K-B.
He brings a professional chef set, which includes all cookery, crockery, knivery, and...
Cutlery!
Cutlery. Oh, the real one? I was going to say stovery.
Yeah. He also brings a lot of sass, connivery.
Connivery.
Oh.
He's watched Survivor before.
Yeah.
He stabbed a few people in the back to survive that thing.
He's ready to play the game, even though everyone's like, dude,
we're not playing
a game.
No one is outwitting or outplaying. We're surviving together. The host is not coming here. The tribe will not be speaking.
Do not
stop
the party.
Voting who you want to leave. It's mean.
He holds people's names up on a piece of paper. No one can leave. Paul, no one can
Paul,
leave.
Paul, if you've got an issue with someone, just talk to them, please. Stop just holding their name up on a piece of paper.
Well, you've got a system. You walk to the other end of the island and cool down.
Stop wasting all the paper.
I'm not a cameraman. Stop addressing me like I'm the viewers at home. There are no viewers at home.
Well, don't write my name. For fuck's sake. Love you, Paul.
He won't. Thanks, Paul. He won't be the cameraman that he is here to be. So I'm voting off Dave.
Thank you, Paul. And finally, I would love to thank from Clearwater, Florida.
Oh, great name.
Sounds
Doesn't
lovely.
Sound like paradise.
Sounds so nice. And I hope you love it there. Jason Frey.
Oh, Jason Frey.
Piano.
Oh, great choice. Full baby grand.
Of course.
Well, I feel like from the rule that we've created, that's just the tip of the iceberg. He's also brought
an axe. An orchestra. He built the piano himself. Oh, an orchestra. Yeah, that's
good.
There's
a full orchestra, including, you know, all the players.
Conductor. You open up the piano and inside it's not a piano. He's bought like 50 guns or something. Yeah. It's like, check this out. All right.
I'm going to shoot chickens. All right. You don't have to. But I'm going to. You can just catch them. They're slow.
So, he's got a full orchestra and including instruments and players. But all of their instruments convert into weapons.
Wow.
You know, imagine death by...
a tuba.
I was going to say tuba.
Oh, no. Stop.
French horn.
Beep.
Flute would be the worst.
What about piccolo? Everyone's like, you can't do much with that. Bang, straight to the aorta.
What is it, a small coffee?
Yeah.
A very small coffee. So thank you very much, Jason. Dave, do you want to bring it home?
Let's bring it home with from Ruppin Yup in Victoria. I'd like to thank Bradley Teasdale.
Oh, Bradley Teasdale.
Bradley.
Didn't realise you lived in God's country. Ruppin Yup. No, I didn't say that right, what was it?
Ruppin Yup.
Ruppin Yup. Beautiful part of the world.
Bradley has brought with him the Essential John Farnham on CD.
Oh.
Three discs.
Okay. And a way to play it?
Yep.
Oh, he has made a horrible mistake.
Oh, Bradley, what have you done?
Jason over here's got the whole Philharmonic Orchestra. Bradley's like, mate, that's nothing. I got fucking Whispering Jack's greatest hits.
I got Fonzie.
So you, and it was a three-disc set, didn't you say?
Yeah,
so
it was
the greatest hits, then the sort of the B-sides and rarities, and then what was the third disc, live?
The even greater hits.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I remember them coming out. It was a real big deal.
Oh, yeah.
This will be the last time.
Maybe the last time. I don't know. You know, that's the first version of that song that I heard. Was the John Farnham.
Yeah, I think so for me too.
I don't remember hearing the original version until after. Oh, maybe I did. Who knows?
To me, that is the original.
That is, yeah. That's the definitive version.
Fonzie makes it his own.
Yes, he does.
It's not a cover. It's a Fonzie song. Yes. Do you know what I mean?
It's sort of like everyone who came before him sort of pre-covered him.
Yeah, and then once he sang it, they were like, oh, we bow down to you.
Especially the Stones.
Yes.
Their version was, I mean, a pretty good cover.
What a tribute.
It was cute. Cute attempt.
So thanks to Bradley.
The front man, whatever his name is.
Gary something?
Yeah, Mike Garrison or whatever.
Mike Farnham.
Yeah. Unfortunately, he does not have the voice. Apparently, okay. He's got some good moves.
Mm. Well, I'm yet to see him.
But the voice does not match.
Yeah.
Mike Gagger.
I love his work.
It's a good name.
Yeah. It's a good name.
He's pretty good.
Unfortunately for him, best thing about him.
Yeah. But.
That stops there.
Oh, wow. Bradley, thanks for your contribution to us and also to the island. That three-disc set will keep us warm through many of these cold nights.
I hope this next person brings some sort of a CD player.
And from Farmington, Connecticut, Brianna Spencer.
Brianna Spencer brings a record player. So close.
Oh,
but no records.
No. So. We've got the three-disc CD and then a record.
What an unsatisfying list of items we've got going on here. They tried putting the CDs on.
Oh, I just started just a fire.
Scratches,
yeah. Well, yeah, they invent fire.
Yeah, accidentally. Thank goodness for that.
And everyone knew that. I mean, as soon as Fonzie recorded those, his producer did say, you've just created fire.
Yeah.
And, yeah, history repeated itself on the island.
Yeah. So thanks to Brianna from Connecticut. Thanks for supporting us.
Yes, and one of the two COs along with Colorado.
All right, nerd.
Uh-huh. my expert category on one of those shows where you get to pick one of those, Einstein Factor, is US states.
Even though last week we were like, oh, there's only one that starts with L. Oh, hang on. No, there's seven. Oh, no, 12. No, they all start with L, I think.
Every single one of them.
Lock it in.
No, there's only one L. Only one L. Is that right? Louisiana.
Yeah, it was a different one, I think, that we said.
Yeah, it was I. I said there's only one I, but there's three
four.
I's. Four I's. Idaho.
Oh, my God.
Is the first. I was the last. Indiana.
And Illinois.
But
from another side of the, or part of the planet, from Dungarvan, Waterford in Ireland, I would like to thank Thomas Goodall.
Thomas Goodall. All right. I know I'm going to bring back some bloody sense to this discussion.
Yeah. All right, Dad.
And
you're no fun, Dad.
Oh, okay. No, you've given me inspiration. What would my dad bring?
Beer.
A trailer with a tarp.
That's such a dad thing.
And seven Oki straps.
Oki straps.
They can tow anything.
Yeah.
No car.
It's so useless.
We get one of the, I used to have so much fun when Dad would he'd need to use the trailer for something. And it'd be like, he'd like, come out, boys, we need you as a counterweight. So you'd sit in the back of the trailer. So because when it's empty, it's front heavy.
Mm.
Oh, of course.
So you counterweight it at the back and then he'd pull you along. It was a real thrill. Yeah, I grew up in the olden days. No, the biggest thrill you got was when Dad said, want to ride in the back of the trailer as I pull it up the driveway?
He'd back up his horse and you'd be off. Yeah. Put it in reverse. It's a horse.
Oh, Thomas, thank you for bringing the trailer.
Oh, Thomas, good.
With Oki straps.
With Oki straps and a tarp, so.
Yeah, so that's pretty good.
Tarp would be good, actually.
You could put a lot of stuff in the trailer, too.
Yeah. Firewood, keep it dry.
Such a dead hit.
What's your favourite Coldplay song?
Monsters Hunter.
You said it. Firewood, keep it dry.
We gotta play. We gotta find that clip for the I think that's kind of in the Australian zeitgeist, right? But due to Tony Martin playing it on repeat on one of his podcasts or something. What's your favourite Coldplay song? Mine's a scientist. So legendary Australian cricketer Shane Warne, who was one of the record take maybe Australia's highest ever Test wicket taker.
Yeah, he's the second of all time, right?
And to Murali. And he had a talk show for a little while. He's also a great Saints player. He played in the under-19s for the Saints. And he had a talk show briefly, and his friend Chris Martin from Coldplay was a guest. And he asked Chris Martin, he said, "What's your favourite Coldplay song?" "Mine's a scientist."
I'm sure I bring this up every time you bring that up, and that is I saw Coldplay 4 or 5 years ago and Shane Warne came out and played harmonica with the band.
I don't remember you ever saying
that. Was it that?
I feel like I'd remember that.
I remember I could feel it was a stadium and I could still feel the crowd was baffled.
And we're going, "Why are you here?
Is that Warney?"
Warney.
They come out to this smaller little stage to do like an acoustic song.
The Sheik of Tweak.
And then, they're all playing acoustic instruments, and then from underneath, Shane Warne walks out.
If it was Huey Lewis, like a famous harmonica player, then sure.
That's fucking Warney.
Warney.
So funny.
So weird.
He's also, there was a Coldplay concert where they got Michael J. Fox out, and they played the songs that Michael J. Fox played as Marty McFly.
That's cool.
At the Undersea Ball or whatever it was first Back to the Future. Earth Angel. And Johnny B. Good.
Chuck
Berry's classic.
Lizzo in LA last year and she brought out Macaulay Culkin. No context. He just danced for about a minute and then left.
Oh, the guy from the pizza band.
Yeah.
The pizza band.
You went and saw Lizzo in LA.
Yeah, that's my...
It's a wild story.
That's my last concert before the world went to shit.
That's good.
You can't go to live concerts in Australia
anymore.
Because
she took a while to get big... In Australia, at least. Where was she on the ride? She already exploding?
Yeah, already huge, but the dates had been booked way earlier in the year, so it was only about 2,000 or 3,000 venue.
Imagine, only 2,000 or 3,000.
Just a cute
but yeah, that is tiny for her, I imagine.
And I remember she played a song and she goes, "This song's number one on the Billboard charts right now." And I was like, "I've never seen an artist play the number one song at the time."
Yeah, pretty cool.
So she just absolutely exploded, yeah.
I was going to see The Darkness and then that got cancelled.
I think Faith No More's the only one that I had a ticket to that got cancelled.
Yeah, right.
Oh, I missed The National. Have you seen The National? You were going to that, weren't you?
I don't think I've seen The National. I like...
But they cancelled in April.
Right.
My Harry Potter and the Cursed Child tickets have just been postponed until March of next year.
Yeah, right.
I hope so. They really do.
Anyway,
thanks to everyone that supports the show on Patreon. The only other thing to do is to check if anyone's coming in to our famed Triptych Club.
Okay, well, I just double check this. Dave, do you want to explain what it is? Explain what it is.
Thank you so much.
And then Jess tells us what drink and hors d'oeuvres we're having. And you've got a band booked, hopefully?
Certainly do. Now, the Triptych Club, it's where if people have been supporting the show for 3 consecutive years on that shout-out Aspod level or above, we like to thank them again by inducting them into sort of a club/hall of fame/fun zone, which is a little place that we've set up. And once you're in, you can never leave, but you don't want to leave.
No. Yeah. I mean, we've never really encountered anybody who's wanted to leave. I suppose if someone did, we would let them, but...
But, you know, you do not want to.
Honestly, that's a request we have not had yet.
It's a club made out of heaven.
Yeah. Made out of heaven.
Oh, that's how good it is.
So, food and drink wise, obviously we're having some sort of banana dish, maybe just bananas. Banana sundaes.
Oh, yes.
And drink wise, rum in coconuts.
Oh, yes. I love any sort of rum drink, any coconut drink. Please.
I hate both, but you can go to town.
Wow, I love them.
You know, I don't cater just to my needs.
Of course.
It's the people's.
And I've also done that by booking our musical act tonight, which is, of course, Coldplay featuring Shane Warne, but Coldplay are more of a backing band and it's Shane Warne harmonica solo the whole time.
Fuck yes.
They will not be playing any Coldplay songs, sadly.
Could we please get Hugh Craig the Third as backup harmonica, maybe just off stage, filling out his sound a little bit?
Hugh Craig the Third, of course, the frontman from Huey Lewis and the News.
The titular Huey Lewis.
Yeah. All right, he can do a backup harmonica, and you might know what? They might even do Warnie's favourite, The Scientist.
Mine's a scientist.
So
The Scientist is a fine song.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it's my favourite Coldplay, but I haven't thought that much about it, to be honest.
Mm.
Yet here I am. Anyway, Matt, have you found them?
Yeah, there's quite a few.
Great. Welcome them in.
Okay. Well, firstly, I'd love to invite into the club. Wait, did you say what I'll do?
Yeah, we're having banana sundaes.
Banana sundaes.
And rum in coconuts.
Yeah. Oh, and you said the music was going to be Huey Lewis and the News, and Shane Warne might open for him. Is that right?
No, the other way around.
Huh?
You got to cater to the times. Okay. Shane Warne's big right now.
Huey Lewis, Shane Warne played sports. That's what he's famous for. He's got that in common with Huey Lewis.
That's actually a better connection than I ever thought we'd get.
We mentioned Listen Hours starting season two. This week started on Monday, starting with Huey Lewis and the News of Sports. And we're going through the top 20 rock albums from the 80s as voted by listeners.
Love that.
So Huey Lewis and the News of Sports came in at number 20. And it was a real fun time. Okay, so entering into the club, hold up that velvety rope for...
Okay, but my arms are getting tired. So
from Holt in the Australian Capital Territory, it's Robert Riddell.
Robert Riddell.
Oh, the Riddler.
From Piedmont, Oklahoma, it's Oliver Rozelle.
Oh, the Rosella.
Oh, that's nice.
From
birds. Oh, lovely.
The Isle of Wight in Great Britain, it is Harry Green.
The greenery is here.
From Rockledge in Florida, United States, it's Tony Martinez.
Martineza.
From Homebush, New South Wales, Australia, it's Kaylin Rankins.
Ranka.
Oh, the rank.
The rank.
From Auckland in New Zealand,
oh my gosh,
it is Mark Towel.
Oop, always carry a towel.
From Honiton in Devon, where they do scones right, cream first, then the jam. It's Michael Killen.
Oh, killing it tonight.
From Carrick Fergus.
Part of the show.
Carrick Fergus in County Antrim, I think in Northern Ireland, Great Britain. It is Ian Irving.
Ooh. that's the night we'll be Irving Ian.
From Sankt Olof in SE. Is that Sweden? Is that...
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Kent Olof in Sweden. It is Lucas Bankston.
Oh, I'm cashing out tonight with Bankston.
You can Bankston on that.
Oh, Bankston that. You can Bankston that.
Yeah. And
oh, we got there, guys.
Finally.
We are professionals.
From Prosser in Washington, the United States, it's Patrick Burnett.
I got nothing. No. Burn it.
We're going to burn it tonight. Yeah.
Burn it at both ends.
My favorite last week was Adam King. You're the man.
You're the man, Adam.
That's so good. It's so stupid. It's my favorite bit of the show. Is watching Dave's face as he sits there listening and he's the cogs are turning. Oh, very good.
That's 2 weeks in a row where the first few names was like, God, this is so easy. I'm so good at this. And then it's like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, no.
Burn.
I think it's just the pressure building because I reckon there was some that you turned in a... What is Martinez? What was that?
Martinez.
Yeah, that's not good.
You just went straight into it and then burn it. Like, could be... Burning up the place. Fire. You're on fire. Burn. You know, that was the real heat. And you're like, well, there's nothing here.
Sorry, the well is dry.
Oh, it's very funny.
I thought you were doing a bit. But Just turns out you were out of juice.
Well, no, I mean, I was doing a bit at first, but then I realised, hang on, I've got nothing. I've got nothing here. So thanks everyone that does support the show, and welcome to the greatest club on earth.
And we're currently talking to someone about redesigning our website. So maybe we'll have to ask them about having a page for the Triptych Club.
Forgot to mention that.
Gold sparkly font, which hasn't been invented yet, but...
Hopefully this, I mean, this will be the real test of how good this guy is, eh?
Yeah.
Can you do gold sparkly font? Then, yeah, you're the man for us. You're the web designer for us.
You're the only one.
Yeah, you'll have to design a new algorithm, but we'll see how we go.
Anyway, as per usual, if you want to get in touch, you can do so at all of our social medias at DoGoOnPod. We're DoGoOnPod@gmail.com and our website is DoGoOnPod.com. Everything is there. And you can also support us on Patreon at patreon.com/DoGoOnPod. You guessed it. You guys never let me talk for this long. Please help me.
Well, that brings us to the end of the episode. What a fun time it has been. Whenever you're listening to this into the future, you should get tickets to our live streams. So much fun, and I think it really heightens the experience.
Totally. And we say live stream, but you can also catch up on it and have it forever. So even if you're listening to this 3 years in the future, hopefully that link in the episode, you can still click on it and you can go back and watch all the old, what was a live stream.
Yeah. But
basically, it's just a live show.
That's right.
Yeah, go back, watch it, cancel us.
Yeah, see a bit of history, I guess.
And, yeah, I mean, really, just catch a bit of history. Because this will be important to be like, geez, they're now presidents of the galaxy?
Wow, this is where it started.
This is where it started.
That's interesting.
That live stream is where the campaign began.
But until next week, well, thank you for listening. And I'll say goodbye.
Later.
Bye.
Suck and fuck.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.